Today's psalm reading will be from Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all of your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout with joy over your salvation, and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him who from his holy heaven with his saving might of his right hand. Some may trust in horses, and some may trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. Let's go ahead and pray. God, I just thank you for this day. I just thank you for the nice weather that you've been giving to us, God, and I just thank you for all your blessings and just even this opportunity to hear from your word, God. And I just pray that you'd bless this time that we spend together. I also pray that amidst everything that's going on right now in our nation, that you just give wisdom to our leaders, give wisdom to those who are making decisions right now, God, and I pray that you just protect those and keep those healthy that are at risk, Lord, but I pray that you just give us your peace that surpasses all understanding, God, that we wouldn't be fearful, and that we wouldn't trust in horses, we wouldn't trust in chariots, we wouldn't trust in the government or in different things, but that we would trust in you, God, that you would be our answer in this time, and that we could find our hope in you, God. And I pray that you just give us that peace, knowing that we can trust you, and give me that peace, God, knowing that I can trust you. Amidst all the chaos, God, we know that your plans are falling into place, and so we just trust you with that. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, it's amazing to see how God works. We've been going through the book of Psalms lately for our daily reading, and just the way it lines up, just the way God's word works, it never ceases to amaze me. So, I have the same lively crowd here, somebody joining me up here for our audience. However, if you're a part of this church and you want your stuffed animal to be here in a seat, bring it. Put it in your seat. We've got to have some kind of fun out of this whole thing. Puts a smile on my face. We even have a stuffed spider joining us today as well. Other than that, we will keep you informed on how church services are going to go. If we're going to meet like this again next week, go ahead and bring your stuffed animal early in the week. Put it in your chair or the one you claim is yours. And represent yourself that way if you desire. And I think that's it for announcements. Yep, we'll keep you posted through emails and Facebook and things like that. All right, today we're going to be back in the book of James. We're going to be talking about faith today. So open up your Bibles to James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. I don't hear pages turning. That's okay. All right, so open up there. Give you just another minute. Or seconds. So if you're there, what I want you to do now is put a bookmark there. And now go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Verses 22 through 25. Luke chapter 8, 22 through 25. And it says, one day he, Jesus, got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, let us go across to the other side of the lake. So they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went to him, woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased. And there was calm. And he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him?" Fascinating passage. The problem that the people had was their lack of faith. They were in this boat. They were with Jesus. And they've been with him through a number of different things. This is kind of towards the middle of his ministry. And they saw some things that Jesus had done in the past. He healed many people, performed many miracles. And yet when they were in this storm, they were afraid. What'd they do? They went down and they found Jesus asleep, probably to the soothing rocking back and forth of the boat. I'm not sure. For these guys to be afraid, they were seasoned fishermen. They've probably been in stuff like this before, so they kind of know what the breaking point of a boat is going to be. And they were afraid it was going to end in a huge crash or a mess or whatever. So they got to him. At least they went to the right guy. I give him credit for going to the right guy to find help. And Jesus says, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" They had the Savior of the world with them in a boat, yet had no faith. And I don't think this storm was something was a small storm. I don't think it was. It was a big deal to these guys. Like I said, they were seasoned fishermen. They knew how to navigate waters, and I don't know if they've ever been in a situation like that before. And they were frightened. They were going through this storm. And I was thinking about this today. In a sense, we're going through something right now. That's why we have to have church really differently, weirdly. Like this. We're going through something. And we don't know what's going to come out of it. We don't know when we're going to be back to, we'll never be back to normal, but back to the way things were that we're familiar with. We don't know. We're in a time of uncertainty. We don't know what's going to happen. But where's our faith at? Where is our faith? As we think about our own faith, is it true? Is it true faith? When push comes to shove, can we trust the faith that we have? Can we trust it? And today we're going to look at dead faith. And that's going to be back in James chapter 2, so I hope you saved your spot. Go back to James chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 14 through 17. And it says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warm and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." A very fascinating passages we're going to be in for the next couple weeks. There's people who do not like these passages because it goes against what they believe and they don't understand what the Scripture's saying. Other people would just skim over it and not think very much into it because it's really hard to grasp the concept of it. Especially when he's calling out works and faith. Now, normally works, when we talk about that, it's used in the negative sense. It's used for a works-based salvation. You have to do this or this or this to be saved. But that's not what James is saying in here. It's not a works-based salvation. He's not saying that. He's saying that your works are going to be known. They're going to be evident. People are going to see who you follow, especially during this time. They're going to see how you behave. to this social distancing or quarantine, whatever your words you want to choose, and this virus that is going through the world. It will be seen on how you behave, how you react, how you speak. And it's interesting to see the differences between the believers and the non-believers. And I believe the church as a whole has gone soft on people who claim to follow Jesus. They have gone soft. They're allowing sin to be okay. It's okay if you're sinning. Jesus loves you. Just continue whatever makes you happy. If you claim you're a Christian, well, just do what makes you happy. That's the way some people are getting. They're turning a blind eye to sin and allowing the believer to continue on in his sin without confronting them, without telling them, without holding them responsible. Because we don't want to offend anybody. Because offending people's bad. We don't like to offend due to the political correctness that we find ourselves in. See, we have Christians that call themselves Christians, even though they don't act like a Christian. Now, a Christian, when you break it down to its fundamental root, it's a somebody who follows Christ, somebody who follows the teachings and the examples of Jesus Christ. And those people, some of them, claim to follow Jesus, but in reality do not. And James is pointing that out for us in our passage today. Now, the problem that was happening on is people claim to follow Christ with their words. They would say the right things, but their life did not show it. They will talk a good talk. They will give you wonderful words. You see, their life does not show it. The true faith in Christ did not show through the way they lived their lives. Now, James, again, uses the word works. A lot of people don't like that, again, because it comes off as legalistic. You have to do this to be saved. I know in some churches, and I really struggle to call them churches, you have to be baptized to be saved as well. That goes into a works-based salvation. That is false. Some will say you have to take communion. That's false. Some will say you have to do these things to be saved, plus Jesus. That is completely false. When we talk about works, works as a result of salvation, the language that we're used to today would be probably our Christian walk is another way to say it. Paul used that phrase as Christian walk. So works and Christian walk are essentially close to the same thing. It's getting the point across. It's our response to salvation. Now, in this series we're going to go through, we're going to be looking at faith and works, which is the Christian walk. And we're going to see how faith and works go together. Now, James is starting on our passage today with two rhetorical questions. He is asking, what good is it to have faith by itself without works assisting it? Now, he is addressing it, of course, to the Jewish believers and uses a hypothetical. They understood that language. He uses the phrase, if someone, referring to one who self-proclaims to be saved or have faith. Now, James doesn't specify what faith that he is talking about. But in the context, suggests that he's indicating, it's referring to acknowledging that one believes in the basics of the gospel of Jesus. A person like this would believe that there is a God, and God wrote the scriptures, acknowledge that Jesus did live, and did die to pay for the sins of mankind, and he ascended to heaven. See, the faith is not in question here. The main concern is he has no works. The problem that the person claims to have faith, but it fails to be seen in his life. When somebody gives their life to Christ, they submit to his authority and they respond to his calling, there's going to be a life change. Now, if you're going through this life and you're one of those people who say, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, and you talk a good talk, but you're still living your old life, you're still in your sin and not dealing with it, you're not feeling any remorse or guilt for the sins that you have committed, there's that thought, is it a true conversion? Is it a true conversion? Do you have true faith? And some people will go on in churches. They'll continue to do the church thing. They'll continue to talk it up, but have no change of life. And yet we do have those that do submit to Christ on their deathbed. They don't really have any time. It's kind of like the thief on the cross. He didn't really have time to display his faith. But God is gracious that it doesn't matter. He is the one that saves. And I don't recommend waiting that long until you're there because you don't know when that's going to be. So what kind of works should accompany faith? What kind of works? Well, James does not give an exhaustive list. It would be quite lengthy, I imagine, and would only be fitting for that time if he did. It actually should be plainly known to the believer what they need to be going, and they're not going to be perfect right away. They're going to learn as they go. However, James does give mention to some works previous. We've already looked at earlier in the book. He talks about obedience to the word of God, perseverance under trials, being truly compassionate to the poor, controlling speech, and purity in life, to name a few. Those are just a few things that he's mentioned up to this point. And he'll talk a little bit more later about some of those. But for those who are believers in Christ, who are true followers of Jesus, the Spirit will lead, the Spirit will tell you that hey, that you shouldn't be doing this. Hey, you should repent over that, or you need to do more of this, maybe. And if we're sensitive, we will listen to him. He will talk to us in a way I can't even begin to describe. So those are some things that will result, will come after salvation, is that. Then James asks if that faith can save. He goes back, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can that faith save him? Well, it's a leading question, and it forces the answer no. Not just any kind of faith can save one. Now, I like MacArthur. He says it best. I quote him saying, a professing of faith that is devoid of righteous works cannot save a person, no matter how strongly it may be proclaimed, no matter how boldly you say you're a Christian, that you say you follow Jesus, no matter how loud you say it or how soft you say it. Does nothing. You see, the heart of the issue is he's going, and it's just like what Jesus taught back in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. He tells us, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? Or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. See, people are going to see who you follow. They're going to see who you trust. They're going to see who you put your faith in. And if you're not bearing any fruit that is useful, do you have faith in Christ? He's kind of teaching like Jesus did. See, one will be known by the things they do and how they respond to situation. If one talks a good talk, they better have action to go with it. The Lord saves. We have a responsibility to obey. And James goes further to explain his point on one who talks about saving faith, but does nothing about it. Next, he talks about somebody who needs something. In the first example, he says, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking daily food, there's a situation. That word poorly clothed comes from the Greek word meaning be naked. So we get this little sense of immodesty. We got this person, we're seeing his tattered up clothing, probably cold, probably weathered. And he needs a little bit of help. And then James also adds this hypothetical saying, lacking daily food. So we get this picture of this person who is needing something. They got basic needs, clothing, maybe a pair of trousers, maybe a shirt, and maybe something to eat. It's pretty obvious what this person needs. Again, James is talking about the poor man. So we got this picture in our head of one who is down and out, one who is poor, one who needs his basic needs met. And it's hypothetical, James says, that the person who just verbally claimed faith says, go in peace, be warm and filled. He claims to follow Jesus, he claims to have faith, and he comes up to this person and says, oh, bless your heart, must be rough. Be warm, be filled. See you later. I've got an appointment to go to. He says these wonderful words. And he goes away. He looks at the poor, gives him a heartwarming sense. I bet this guy's good at prayers too. You know, just hit the heart, but does nothing. Does nothing. He speaks a sentence and then leaves. The self-proclaimed righteous person with faith does nothing to help. Like I said, the poor man needed maybe a sandwich, maybe a pair of trousers. It's the simple things. They were basic needs. And the one with faith just spoke with no action. What good is that? What good is that? Nothing good was done. You can't eat words. They don't keep you warm. He needed his basic needs met. And he just spoke and left. Nothing good was done, and that's the point James is making. There's no good in just speaking. That kind of behavior is cruel to your fellow man. One is cold and hungry, and someone has the nerve to say, go in peace. Be warm. Be filled. See ya. How useless is that? How useless? People sometimes need their basic needs met. The one with self-proclaimed faith will give just kind words and do nothing to help. That is why James says that faith by itself is dead. There's no works behind it. It is worthless. It is an empty faith. And the question is was that kind of person a believer? Are they truly a believer? Now, again, by no means am I saying that that the Bible teaches that one is saved through works. You're not saved through works. It's only through faith in Jesus Christ that He is the only one that can save. Through His death and resurrection, He paid for your sins. Only through Him. Only through Him that one is saved. However, if there is no change, if there is no change in one's life after Christ, was it true conversion? Or will you just get all emotional one day? Emotional responses work, but not always. You get into this emotional state and you claim to give your life to Christ because out of emotion, but then nothing changes. You're still in the same way year after year after year. Was it a true conversion? If one can really look down on a person who is in need and do nothing, absolutely nothing, do they follow Jesus in the Bible? Yes, I understand that there are some things we're limited to helping. I get that. But we always know somebody who can help. And even going that distance, saying, hey, I can't help this person with this need. Can you help them? Having that true, genuine concern. If they don't, do they really follow Jesus of the Bible? You know, as we later look, works is a result of salvation. If one is called to be a believer, and it does not show, are they a true believer? Now, the point that James is making is so clear. If your faith does not show, do you have saving faith? The one whose faith is in question is normally fast to speak and slow to do anything. They're going to be the first one to raise their hand and say, yes, I'm a Christian. But when push comes to shove, they're going to be the first ones to back out. Now, has your faith shown through? Has your faith shown through? Not by force, but a desire to truly help somebody. And I understand, we get in these situations where there's things that we need to do, but we don't want to. But we do it because we got this pulling on our heart to do it. If you're in a situation and there's somebody you need to talk to or something that you need to do for somebody, and you're like, oh, I don't really want to do this, but you get this pulling on you saying, yes, you need to do it. Do it because you're doing it because you are being obedient. Those who do it and get attention say, hey, look at me, look what I can do, look who I'm helping, look how much I gave over here, look who I helped over here. They're doing it with the wrong reasons. But those who are true believers will do it because they're being obedient. Now, yes, as I think about this as well, in the time that we're in, and our faith right now is being tested. You and I are going through a test phase. How are we going to handle it? Now, right now, we're kind of limited. We can't have big gatherings, and hanging out with people is pretty frowned upon right now. So we're kind of stuck in our own little homes, our own little bubbles. So we can't be very active right now. But what can we do right now? How can we apply works to this? Well, guess what? There's a number of people who are working right now. Praise God that there's people working. We have some that cannot work. Some, their jobs shut down or they did some cuts. Some may have lost their job and waiting to get through to see what's going to happen. So right now, guess what? We've got some downtime. There are a number of people who have downtime right now. What are we doing with it? Right now, we can be in God's Word. We can be making personal study habits. We can be reading. And not just glancing over words and just trying to get a whole chapter read or a whole book read in one sitting. Hey, I sped read through this. I read the book of Jonah in 20 minutes, all four chapters. But actually taking the time and looking at each word, looking at each verse, looking at each sentence, figuring out what it's saying. Deepen your faith. Deepen your relationship. Because lately we have gotten so busy that people neglect their studies. They make time. Well, it's Sunday, so we'll just go to church. That should be good for a week. Are we doing that today? No, we're not going to church. We can't assemble together. And it breaks my heart that we can't do that right now. But during this time that we have, we're not near as busy. We have time. What are we doing with it? Are we preparing? Because guess what? This is going to end. And we're going to have to go back out there. And are you prepared? Have you taken this time and used it wisely? Have you grown closer to God and growing closer to your family? Reconnecting. Because right now, we have the time to engage in God's Word and deeper understanding. We need to use this time right now because life may be different after this. It may be. I have no idea. But it's our prep time. Right now we have prep time. Most of the people do. As we're going through this test, I have also noticed the true believers. The ones who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they have this peace about them. They're not panicking. They're concerned. I get it. Because we're humans. We get concerned. But we have this peace about us. We get thinking, well, you know what? God's in control. I'm going to do what I can do. I'm going to be faithful to Him and His Word. And we're going to get through this. A couple things could happen. First thing is, the Lord will just call us home right now. This week, before this whole thing ends. Great! Or the Lord will see us through this. We'll have a harder time. But yet He's with us. And we have that peace. Because He's in control. We belong to Him. Now, it might not feel comfortable. It might be like wearing gunny sack underwear. It's going to be itchy. But our faith is in Him. And He has our best interest in mind. And He will take care of us. Again, we might not like it, but we draw to Him. And we truly believe that He will see us through it. And His plan is perfect. See, we need to keep training our hearts and get back out after this whole thing's over with and do the work for the church at the appropriate time. We need to use our time wisely, draw closer to God, so our faith will be seen by others. And here's the deal, they'll want what you have. If you're truly living for Christ, people will see that. You'll be different. People will question that. Be ready for a response. And then take that time and share the love of Jesus with them. Because your works will be noted. I remember a story about D.L. Moody. It was while he was in a boat or a ship. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's kind of on point. It says, Moody and a crew were sailing, and things were not going well because the ship was taking on water. While Moody was bailing out water, someone came to him and said, "Mr. Moody, you need to pray." Then Moody replied, "I'll pray while I'm bailing out the water." See, he knew what needed to be done. There had to be work. He knew where his faith was at. But he had something he had to do. There was a need and a reliance on God. If he did not bail out the water, the ship would sink. There was works that showed through the faith. And that's what James is telling us today, is do something. Be obedient. Don't just give lovely speeches that attract the ear, but do things that affect the heart. If the believer has true saving faith, it will show through their deeds. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you so much for your word during this time. As you comfort us through this, and as you give us hope, and you are in control, and our trust, our faith should be in you, because you will see, you will work through us. Lord, we don't really like the situation that we're in. I don't. I miss the fellowship of the brothers and sisters. It's not the same. And Lord, I pray that's on the hearts of many right now as they miss the church community, as we cannot meet right now. Lord, I pray that you help us through this time. We pray for speedy recovery of our nation. We ask for your help. And during this time, it reminds me of your people in the Old Testament, how they cried to you during times of trials. And Lord, I do believe you hear our prayers. And yet, Lord, there's still work to be done in our hearts sometimes. And you take situations like this and you shape us and you mold us and you turn us into the people that you have designed us to be. Lord, as some people see it, you've given us downtime. We've been so busy, we've put you off to the side. You've given us time to reconnect with you. Help us to do that. Help us to turn off everything else and focus on you. Focus on your goodness. Focus on your word. Draw deeper to you, because this isn't going to last forever, this virus. You will take care of it in your way, in your time, whatever that looks like. Lord, our faith is in you. We cry out to you today, and we ask that you hear our prayers. And Lord, I pray for all those that are seeking a job, seeking employment, seeking a way to pay the next bill, to get the next sandwich or whatever. Lord, we pray that you provide for those basic needs. Right now, there is very little that we can do. Our faith is in you. And we're going through it right now. Help us to look toward you. Help us to be a light. Help us to turn to you and your goodness. And Lord, after this is over with, help us to shine your light and do your work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Amen. You're dismissed.